Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians is the book of joy in the Bible, written by the Apostle Paul. But the source of Paul's joy is not his circumstances. He is in chains, in prison, and being threatened with possible execution at any time. His circumstances are not great, but his joy isn't based on his circumstances. His joy is found in the Lord. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. The reason we can rejoice in all circumstances is not because our circumstances are always great. The reason we can rejoice is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done for us. In chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul goes into more detail about his relationship with the Lord and why that relationship is the greatest source of joy in his life and can be the greatest source of joy in our lives as well. Let me share with you from Philippians 3, three places where joy comes from. Number one, joy comes from knowing the love of Christ. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Philippians 3, verse 8. First of all, joy comes from knowing the love of Christ. Paul was successful in his former career as a Pharisee. He had a really impressive resume, which he goes into detail in chapter 3. He was a purebred Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, from the same tribe as his namesake, the first king of Israel, King Saul. He was circumcised on the eighth day, according to Jewish tradition, and he was a fully trained Pharisee. Acts 22 tells us that Paul was trained not by some average Joe, but by the great Gamaliel himself. Gamaliel was a celebrated Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, and a doctor of the Mosaic Law. Training by Gamaliel made Paul a Pharisee among Pharisees. Paul himself earned great acclaim among Jewish leaders as a persecutor of the church. Paul's career was going in a very successful direction, following in the footsteps of his teacher Gamaliel. And then something happened that Paul didn't expect. One day on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus, and his life would never be the same. In fact, it would be infinitely better. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to us in Philippians chapter 3. Paul left his successful career and became a follower of Jesus Christ. But Philippians 3, 7, and 8 says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." If you happen to ask Paul if he regretted losing his former career and becoming a follower of Christ, his answer would be, "No, no, 1,000 times no. I don't even miss it." Everything he used to have, he now would consider scubalon, rubbish, trash, refuse, filthy scraps of garbage that you would throw to the dogs. Everything is garbage compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus his Lord. Because in Christ Jesus, he knows what real love is, and there is nothing that compares to the love of Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God." Paul's greatest desire was that all people would come to know the love of Jesus Christ and be filled to the point of overflowing with it. It is a love that is beyond all measure, a love that is greater than anyone can possibly imagine, a love so big that it surpasses all knowledge. There is no possible way our tiny little human brains can wrap our minds around it. A love so vast that it will take nothing less than an entire eternity to begin to understand it. Paul's great desire is that we know that love and that we walk in that love. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us." Paul's great desire is that we all know this love and walk in this love, loving people with the same love that Jesus has for us, the same love that motivated Jesus to sacrifice himself on the cross for our sake. We can't love people perfectly, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can live out Christ's love in our life more and more. Joy comes, number one, from knowing the love of Christ. Number two, joy comes from knowing the righteousness of Christ. Philippians 3:9, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Joy comes from knowing the righteousness of Christ. As I said, we can't live out Christ's righteousness perfectly in our lives because we are sinners. As we all admitted earlier in the service, we all sin against God in our thoughts and our words and in our deeds, by what we do and by what we don't do. By our own works and by our own efforts, we could never be righteous before God. God's standard is not good enough for I did my best. God's standard is perfection. Nothing more, nothing less. And if there's one thing we all know, not one of us is perfect. Therefore, not one of us can be righteous before God by our own efforts. But Paul tells us that there is another way to be righteous before God, and this way is proven to be 100% effective 100% of the time. It is not a righteousness of our own, but a righteousness given to us as a free gift of God. A righteousness that is through faith in Jesus Christ from first to last. Paul would write, I want to know Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. This righteousness covers our sinfulness with Christ's blood, so that our sins might be forgiven. And where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also eternal life. This righteousness, this forgiveness, and this eternal life are given to all of us as a free gift of God through Jesus Christ. But although the gift is free, the gift was bought at a price. And the price is the greatest price ever paid in history. The blood of Jesus, God's one and only Son, paid for our sins to redeem us from all unrighteousness. On the cross, Jesus took all our sins upon himself and gave us in return his righteousness. In the greatest exchange in history, Jesus took all of our sins and in return gave us all of his perfect, sin-free righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For our sake God made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The gift of righteousness, forgiveness, and everlasting life is one of the greatest reasons we have for that glorious and inexpressible joy. It's a joy that overflows to others around us, a joy that motivates us to share the good news of Jesus with others. We want others to know this great joy we have in Christ, so we want to not just know Christ, but make him known to all people. So, Paul writes, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our mission. That's the joyful mission that we are on, inviting people to believe and trust in this free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Which brings us to point number three. Joy comes, first of all, from knowing the love of Christ. Number two, knowing the righteousness of Christ. And number three, knowing the resurrection of Christ. Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. That resurrection is the source of Paul's joy. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason for joy for Paul. It's also the ultimate reason for joy for the rest of the apostles, as we see from the book of Acts and the entire rest of the New Testament. When the disciples saw the empty tomb and met in person the resurrected Christ, the Bible tells us that they were overjoyed. They had too much joy. They had so much joy, they could not contain themselves. They had to tell everyone who would listen that Jesus had risen from the dead. Even when they were persecuted, jailed, and physically beaten, they continued to rejoice. Nothing could take away their joy. The reason no one could take away their joy was because the resurrection of Jesus Christ was more than a religious idea. It wasn't some random doctrine that they invented. No, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is much more than a religious idea or a theological doctrine. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a historical fact. The disciples saw the empty tomb. The disciples saw with their own eyes the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus spoke directly to Paul on the road to Damascus. He heard it with his own ears. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not an idea. It's a historical fact. And that historical fact is the source of our joy as well. Because it's a fact and not just an idea or a doctrine or a feeling. It also is the greatest victory of all time. When Jesus rose from the dead, death itself was defeated once and for all. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah predicted his death on the cross and his resurrection. Isaiah 25, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. You see, on Easter morning, the great devourer, death itself, has been swallowed up. Death, our greatest enemy, is defeated now and forever. And nothing gives greater joy than a resounding victory over our greatest enemy. Death is defeated. Jesus has won the victory. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Death is defeated. Jesus has won the victory. And it is time for the celebration to begin. A celebration of joy that begins in this life but lasts into eternity. Or as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus.